This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Chloe, Made Men Number 3. Written by Sarah Brienne. Performed by Katie McCable. Chapter 1. The demon had come to get her. Present day. Chloe stared at the blank white wall in front of her bed. Still clutching the jacket Amo had draped carefully across her shoulders earlier that night. Something about his jacket was keeping the demons at bay. Maybe it was the fact that it smelled like him, or maybe it was the warmth making her feel as if his arms were wrapped. Crack! The sound of broken bones greeted her ears as a baseball bat slammed down on a limp body, the image flashing on the wall in front of her for a split second. Coming back to reality, she almost forgot where her thoughts were heading. If she hadn't inhaled Amo's masculine scent coming from the expensive fabric, then that was where her mind would have gone. She started to think the jacket might have been soothing her, but she hadn't experienced that feeling in a long time. The only reason she believed it was because her thoughts should be consumed right now by her horrors, making her watch the replay of tonight's snap. Another flash of the bat, making contact with the man's leg. The man who lay practically lifeless on the floor before the wall turned blank again. She ran her thumb over the fabric, not understanding why her body wouldn't stay motionless like the million times it had before when her nightmares had played in front of her eyes. Gliding her thumb over the soft fabric again, she came to the conclusion that it felt as expensive as it. An evil pair of blue-green eyes stared back at her from the white wall, making her blood run cold. She watched him grip the neck of the bat with a force so intense, she was positive it was going to shatter before the bat was brought down for its final time. Crunch! Amo's jacket was no longer going to bring her out of her nightmarish dream. The demon had come to get her. Chapter 2. Going back in time. 4 years earlier. The stinging pain on her face and her sore body woke her, making her want to scream. But her throat was too dry. Not only did the room feel unfamiliar to her, but the sterile smell as well. She couldn't recall anything, nor figure out where in the world she was, which made her feel as if she were heavily drugged. As she groggily tried to open her eyes, she saw everything in a blur. Then a figure moved into the space over her. "Chloe," a male said, before he laid his hand over her arm. The moment his masculine hand touched her skin, memories flooded her mind of the horrific crimes she had just endured, like she was going back in time to endure it all again. She tried desperately to scream, but it sounded weak, coming out as a hoarse whisper. When the pressure from the hand on her slightly increased, she began to kick and hit uncontrollably, unsure if she could survive the brutality she had just experienced once more. "It's me, your father. Chloe, you're safe now," her father kept repeating quietly, trying to keep her calm. All she could think about was the hand on her arm, as if she were still experiencing the torturous touch from before. Only wanting it to stop, she was finally able to scream, "Let go of me!" Her father only held her down harder, using both hands. "Shh, you are safe in the hospital," he began, trying everything he could to keep her from drawing attention to the room. Hot tears spilled down her cheeks before the sound of shuffling feet echoed throughout the room, and even more hands began to hold her down.
"Please, I can't take any more," she cried.
"She's having a panic attack. Give her something,"
her father quickly spit out before Chloe could say another word. Feeling a slight sting in her arm, Chloe started to lose the fight against them. Unfortunately, as her body became numb, her mind didn't. She still felt her torturer's hands on her instead of the people in this room. Looking past the nurses, she stared at the blank, white wall through the blur of her tears.
"Please, I don't want to be touched anymore."
"Stop!" Chloe choked out for what felt like the 100th time as hands held her down once more. The prick of the needle into her sore skin felt like nothing compared to the hands that gripped her. Her cheeks burned as tears fell, bringing her to the realization that she must have been crying in her sleep, as she was never even awake for a full 5 minutes before they knocked her out again. As the drugs took over her body, her last thought was to wish they understood. The nurses, along with her father, thought she was screaming for them to stop drugging her. But she was just screaming for them to pull their hands off her body. The fuzziness in her brain started to ease as she woke. Chloe regained consciousness once more, having no idea how long she had been at the hospital or how many times she had woken up, only for it to end in screams and pain. This time, she lay unmoving, afraid to even open her eyes. The pain on her face had her wanting to relieve it. "Don't move." The memories of the man. "Don't cry." Chloe had to fight her instincts and to think smart about how to keep them from continuing to drug her.
"Otherwise, there will be nothing left of me. If there is anything left."
Even with her eyes closed, she could feel a presence in the room. And considering her father had been there every time she had awakened, it was safe to say he was that presence. She wasn't even sure if he had ever left the room. But the question was, why? Her father had wanted to talk. But the moment she'd become hysterical, he wouldn't even give her a chance to cry it out, making her feel as if she were crazy. Why? Hearing a movement come from the far corner of the hospital room, she knew he was awake, so she decided to take the distance between them to her advantage. Chloe didn't open her eyes as she began to open her mouth. Afraid if she did, her hysteria would take over, and the cruel cycle would start again.
I don't like to be touched anymore," she whispered as best she could.
She heard what sounded like her father starting to get up. A face flashed in her mind as she felt invisible hands wrap around her throat.
"No!"
Her eyes shot open to reveal the dim hospital room. Chloe took a deep breath, trying to keep her voice even, to remain calm.
"Don't come closer, please."
After a moment, her father sat back in his chair. The room was eerily quiet. She didn't understand why he wasn't asking her questions, wondering what had happened, or, more importantly, who had done this to her?
"Does Dad already know? Is the man locked up forever?"
She figured she would start with that first.
"You know what happened to me, don't you?"
The look on his worn-out face gave her the answer. Her father held up his hands and slowly stood.
I'm not going to touch you. I just want to come closer. Is that all right?
Trying her best to stay strong, she nodded her head, holding her breath as he slowly walked toward her. She only slightly relaxed as he stood by the bed, making no attempts to touch her. He looked down upon her, taking in this new sight of his daughter. When her silent questions still went unanswered, she forced herself to whisper the words.
Did you catch him?
A bushy eyebrow rose as he stared at her blankly.
Catch who?
Shocked, Chloe blinked a few times, wondering if she were in a dream before the stinging on her face told her it wasn't.
Who did this to me?
She choked out.
Chloe, you were in a car accident.
It sounded as if it were rehearsed.
There was no car.
You were in a car wreck. That's all you know.
His voice was calm and collected. Chloe began shaking her head violently, her eyes brimming with tears.
No, I wasn't. He hurt.
You were in a car wreck. No one hurt you.
No!
She screamed as her cheeks started to burn again from the tears.
You were in a car wreck. That's all you know. You were in a car wreck. No one hurt you.
He was beginning to sound hypnotic. Not only her head, but her body began to violently shake.
No, no, no!
This time, a lone nurse came in the room with a needle, closing the door behind her. Her father stepped forward, holding her down. As Chloe tried to scream as loudly as her throat allowed, fighting off their hands as much as she could before the needle pricked her skin in the sore spot of her arm. He spoke over her with the same melodic sound in his voice.
You were in a car wreck. That's all you know. You were in a car wreck. No one hurt you.
Chapter 3. Does the sight of her just sicken you? Sitting up in the hospital bed, she hadn't moved, hadn't spoken. She merely sat there, doing the same thing for hours, staring. The white wall in front of her was the only thing she stared at. It showed her past, her nightmares.
I was in a car wreck.
Hearing the click of kitten heels getting closer and closer to the door didn't bring her out of her trance. A woman with short black hair and dressed in business attire entered the room. Not a hair on her head was out of place, and the pearls wrapped around her neck perfectly gleamed. It was the first time she had seen Chloe since the accident, so she took a few moments to look her over.
It's a shame she got her face marked. I think we could use it to our advantage and turn this situation into something better.
Her beady eyes traveled down.
However, I think she should keep her arms covered. We don't want people to feel too sorry for us.
That's all I know.
Turning, she walked toward Chloe's father, who was staring out the window.
Why don't you go home and get some rest, Maxwell? You look tired. I'll go back to the office and keep taking care of everything. Let the nurses do their job.
Maxwell didn't even turn to look at her.
Did you ever love our daughter? Or does the sight of her just sicken you?
We've talked about this. Chloe's mother sighed.
Turning his head, he looked at her with disgust.
How does the sight of her look to you now?
I was in a car wreck.
Please don't bring this up here in front of her. What do you see in her, Elaine? Your sister, or the pride you lost in your womanhood when you found out you couldn't have a child naturally? Yeah, well, I guess you picked the wrong sister, Elaine huffed.
Maxwell resumed staring out the window.
I know I did.
Elaine stormed off toward the door.
I would tell you to leave me for her, but you can thank your daughter for killing her.
The snap of the door closing had him looking away from the window to Chloe. A single tear had slid down her cheek.
Don't listen to her.
He stood, going to her bedside and opening a medicine bottle.
No one hurt me.
He placed a little white pill in the dip of a spoon and held it to her mouth.
This will make it all better.
Getting discharged should have made her happy. But those little white pills the doctor had prescribed her wouldn't let her feel much of anything. They weren't making her a vegetable, unable to move, but they were making her feel hollow, like a shell.
Go get yourself cleaned up. I can still smell hospital all over you,
her mother spewed as she scrunched up her nose in distaste. Chloe headed toward the bathroom, turning the light on and closing the door behind her. She hadn't realized it until now, but she had been avoiding mirrors for this exact moment in time. The high dose of medication might make her unable to feel, but the bile running up her throat was telling her she should be feeling something. The right side of her face was still swollen, with a slash marking her face from about 2 inches above her eyebrow, all the way down to a now very hollow cheek. The other one was about an inch above and below the right side of her mouth. The marks were fresh and grotesque, flaming a bright red, with dried-up blood that faded out to red, pink, and rosy on her skin. Chloe moved her gaze down as she slowly removed the rest of her clothes. She had been so concerned with the pain in her face at the hospital, she didn't even notice her arms shared their own markings.
I was in a car wreck. That's all I know. I was in a car wreck. No one hurt me.
I don't hear the water running.
Her mother swung open the door to reveal Chloe looking at herself with tears in her eyes. Immediately she stepped into the bathroom, closing the door and going straight to the bathtub to run the water.
Get in.
When Chloe didn't move and just continued to stare at herself in shock, her mother raised her voice.
Chloe, get in.
Chloe's glazed eyes moved to look at her mother's in the mirror.
I can clean myself.
It had been years since her mother had bathed her. Even though her brain was hazy, she could remember how rough she had been bathed, making washcloths feel like Brillo pads. As soon as she had been able to take showers, she had. However, that was before her accident, back when she could be touched.
Then do it without getting your stitches wet.
Quickly, she got into the freezing tub. Picking up the washcloth, she held it under the water to give herself a sponge bath.
You're getting them wet,
Elaine advised harshly. She tried to be more careful. But by this point, her vision was too blurry from tears.
Give it to me.
Snatching away the washcloth, her mother got on the floor to reach into the tub. Chloe started crying, afraid of the moment when her mother's skin would touch hers.
I can do it.
Clearly you are incapable.
Elaine started scrubbing her back, pushing Chloe forward.
Please, I can do it.
She tried avoiding her touch, to no avail. The harder she tried, the harder her mother scrubbed her skin raw. No amount of tears, fighting, or pleading saved her. Much like when she had been kidnapped, it only made her captor relish in her discomfort. It was far worse than she remembered. But that might just be because any touch was now unwelcome for Chloe. Looking at her mother as she scrubbed furiously, in her place now stood the man who would forever haunt not only her nightmares, but reality. Chapter 4. How does the sight of her look to you now? Sleep no longer came for Chloe, because sleep was a dangerous thing. Here, awake in her bedroom, alone, staring at the white wall, her kidnapping played before her eyes. It was as if she were watching a movie. Sure, it scared the shit out of her, but it was better than the alternative. Here, asleep in her bedroom, alone, with her eyes closed, her kidnapping didn't play on the movie screen. It happened to her all over again. She could feel hands wrapping around her neck, the blade piercing my skin. That was what really scared the shit out of her. Chloe shook her tired head. No one hurt me. It had been a while since her last dose of medication, and her mind didn't seem as fuzzy or numb. Maybe it wasn't a terrible nightmare that kept haunting her, but maybe it was real. Hours passed as she sat in her misery, contemplating what was real or a dream. Finally, when she heard the footsteps come to the door, she knew she would be rescued from her thoughts, or any thoughts for that matter. The smell that greeted her nose as her father entered the room had her wrinkling it up. She watched him stumble to her bed, almost falling over several times in the short distance.
Dad, are you all right?
His words came out harsh and slurred.
Yes, why the fuck wouldn't I be?
Chloe's heart rate started to rise from the sight of her father drunk, never having seen it before. She sat quietly and patiently, waiting for him to quit fumbling to get the prescription bottle open.
You open it.
He threw the bottle on the bed. Grabbing up the bottle, she tried her best not to shake as she opened it and spilled out one of the little white pills. Closing the bottle, she then quickly placed it on her nightstand, too afraid to hand the bottle to him and risk him touching her. Maxwell snatched the bottle up forcefully, causing a huge rattling sound to fill the room before he stumbled out the way he had come in. She sat in shock, gazing at the now closed door, hoping to never see her father come through her door like that again. Something about him seemed violent, just like him. Chloe opened her hand, revealing the little white pill that sat perfectly in the middle of her palm. Swiftly, she popped the pill into her mouth before swallowing, hoping it would work quickly.
I was in a car wreck. That's all I know. I was in a car wreck. No one hurt me.
It wasn't long before her father's medicine visits to her room were few and far between. Each time he came in, he was ruder and more drunk than the last visit. Chloe had to learn to deal with the pain on her own as she slowly weaned off the pills. She didn't know what she dreaded more, a train full of emotions hitting her when the medicine had run its course, or her father walking through the door again. It was a flip of a coin which one was worse. They both gave her nightmares. Something about her was broken, and those pills weren't putting her back together. Instead, they just acted like a band-aid. A temporary fix, not to feel the emotions that were killing her. The band-aid wasn't healing her. It was causing her to rot from the inside out. Deep down, she knew this. She could feel it the moment her last dosage wore off. And that was when she made a decision. The turning of the doorknob had Chloe jumping up in bed. Maxwell entered the room in a jumbled mess, reeking of alcohol. Coming over, he practically threw the medicine bottle at her. Chloe kept her head down as she said,
I don't want them anymore.
Excuse me?
Swallowing down the bile that rose in her throat, she said it again.
I don't want them anymore.
He stared at her a minute before he responded.
Then, if you don't need them anymore, your ass can go back to school.
She gasped, finally raising her head to look at him.
Please, don't make me go back.
Yes.
No!
She couldn't help crying. Maxwell pointed his finger right in her face, frightening her into thinking he was going to grab her.
Don't you ever speak to me that way again, little girl.
He snatched up the medicine bottle forcefully off the bed.
Now you're fucking going to school tomorrow. You were just in a damn wreck. Remember?
Chloe didn't even hear the door close behind him. She sat there all night, holding herself tightly. Her father used to be her only source of love and trust. Now he scared the daylights out of her. After her accident, it was evident she wasn't the only person who had changed. Now if her home life wasn't fucked up enough, she had to go back to the outside world. Not only had she not left the house, but she hadn't even left her bedroom. Now she was going to be thrown right back into high school, like nothing had even happened. When morning came, Chloe headed to her bathroom. One look at herself in the mirror, and she knew exactly how the kids at school were going to treat her.
Does the sight of her just sicken you?
She remembered how she had used to look just a short time ago. She used to think of herself as pretty.
How does the sight of her look to you now?
Now all she could see was the ugliness that had touched her. Chapter 5. The one word that would follow her forever. Freak. Elaine had dropped her off at school. Not an ounce of sympathy in her eyes as she shooed Chloe out of the car so that she would not be late for work. There wasn't a point in pleading not to walk in those front doors with her. She preferred the jungle of Legacy Prep High over being in the car with her anyway. As Chloe walked to the front doors of the school, it was a lot for a 14-year-old to handle, especially considering what she had gone through since the last time she had walked through those doors. The last time she had passed that door frame, she not only had looked like a different person, but she had been a different person. The person she was now was unrecognizable.
Maybe it won't be so bad.
swallowing hard, and finally mustering up the courage to open the door, she passed through the entrance. She hoped her new markings would just gain some sort of sympathy, enough to just be left alone. That was all she asked for. Pulling the sleeves down on her black sweater to cover the tops of her hands, she started walking down the hall. Her heart stopped instantly, as a wave of silence slowly traveled down the hall. What was once a noisy shuffling of feet and smashing lockers, accompanied by loud gossip and chatter, had now become so quiet you could hear a pin drop. She had known she would be stared at. Let them get it out of their system. Then it will all be over. She had to remind herself to put one step in front of the other and focus on reaching the classroom door as the whispering started in another wave down the hall. Regardless, Chloe couldn't make out anything that was said until she heard it. The one word that would follow her forever. Freak. Chloe hung her head to the ground, letting her long, black, silky hair sweep across her face to cover her scars and shame. The chuckling from the loudly voiced word began to travel down the hall. She knew who had said it. The certain blonde had just signed Chloe's death sentence. It was a joke for her to think it would all be over soon. The remains of the once very naive little girl. It felt like an eternity before she reached her classroom, where she carefully took a seat in the back. She held her head down as the students filed in, whispering the moment they saw her. Chloe even continued to hold her head down as class started. It wasn't until she heard the classroom door squeak open and complete silence fill the room that she looked up. Instantly, her heart stopped as she watched a short-haired, strawberry blonde girl come through the room, taking her seat at the front.
"Did you have a good vacation, Miss Buchanan?"
The teacher raised her brow as she looked down at the tardy girl. There was some snide giggling among the room before the girl replied,
"Sure."
Chloe had to look away from the girl, glancing down at her lap to see that she had been wringing her hands. She had forgotten what had happened the last day she had come to school. She had forgotten what had happened to that poor girl.
What they did to her.
Applying more pressure to her hands as she wrung them, she began to hate herself for forgetting. Even after all she had been through, she should have at least thought about her once.
Thought about what I did to her.
Staring at her white desk, the memory began to play in front of her. Chloe stared in shock as the group all took turns beating the helpless girl on the ground. She didn't have a clue of what to do as the ringleaders, who happened to be twins, Sebastian and Cassandra, were already doubting her intentions. They were constantly clocking her, seeing how she was reacting and if she was going to run. She had told herself to run for help the moment they had started dragging the girl down the hallway to the outside of the school. But one of them had caught on and grabbed her arm, making her follow. If she ran now, there was no doubt they would catch her and give her the same fate as the girl on the ground. Right now, the only chance she had to help her was to watch and wait until they left, and she could get her some help. Otherwise, no one would have a clue she was behind the school, lying there, left helpless. Looking down at the now bloody girl, bile started traveling up her throat. She wasn't sure how much longer she could watch without giving herself away. Relief flooded her when they all had taken their turns and went to head back. She wanted to get her help as fast as possible.
Wait.
However, Sebastian's voice stopped them all in their tracks.
You didn't get your turn, Chloe.
Swallowing hard, she thought as fast as she could.
That's okay, we're missing lunch, and I'm hung-
Sebastian shoved her closer to the body on the ground.
Kick her then, and we can go.
Looking down at her, Chloe's heart started to break.
She looks like she's had enough.
You better fucking kick her.
Sebastian and the rest of them all stepped closer to her, making the threat clear. Taking a few steps closer, she wanted to break down and cry for the girl. Cry and scream until someone came to rescue her. There was no way she could kick her.
Kick me. It doesn't hurt anymore.
The bloody girl mouthed quietly, for only her to witness. Feeling the others closing in on her, Chloe closed her eyes and reared her foot back, kicking her in the ribs with enough force to keep them happy, though not hard enough to inflict much more pain on the girl.
Let's get out of here. The bitch got the message. Good job, Chloe.
They all started to head back once again, but Chloe couldn't move. She had been so disgusted with herself the moment she had done it, but she couldn't figure out another way to get the girl some help in the end. Staring down at her, she saw the girl staring back with pleading eyes. Chloe could see her begging for her to leave with them, to not continue to arise suspicion. She didn't understand why the girl cared if she got beaten up or not. She shouldn't care. Not after what the group she hung around had done to her. And this hadn't even been the first offense. The strong-willed girl kept pleading, and with the group watching her every move, she turned to leave with them. She looked down at the ground as she walked away, wanting to cry.
I'm so sorry, Al.
Chloe quickly wiped the tear that had fallen down on her fresh scar.
I deserved what he did to me.
Chapter 6. The words that would forever be ingrained in her soul. Elle was one of the first ones to sit down with her food in the cafeteria. She hadn't waited behind in math class to finish her problem and get the shit beaten out of her when the hallways were deserted. It was also taco day for the main line, which meant the other line of chicken patties and hamburgers was non-existent, and she had chosen that option. It was her first day back since the beating, and she was keeping to herself. But that wasn't much different than what she had done before. Looking at her empty lunch table and to the other tables that were starting to fill up with students, she remembered how she used to feel embarrassed sitting alone. But now it beats bleeding behind the school. She just needed to finish the school year out. Her father wasn't going to be able to pay for her tuition anymore. That was one small blessing out of it all. From the moment she had walked through the school doors for the very first time, Elle had felt like she didn't fit into this prep school. She had been happy back in public school, and she wished her parents had never enrolled her there in the first place. The kids there only cared about the label stitched into their clothing, while all Elle worried about was if she was going to survive her first and final year here at Legacy Prep. Doubtful. The cafeteria slowly went suspiciously quiet as whispering began. Looking around the busy room, she saw everyone's attention on the door behind her. Spinning around to see what had gained so much attention, Elle's eyes rested on a once beautiful girl who had the most gorgeous pair of striking gray eyes. Now, in her place, stood a girl with inflamed red slashes across her face and tortured gray eyes. What happened to her?
fucking freak, was said, followed by laughter filling the space with continuous echoes of the word freak.
Elle's heart dropped as she watched the girl turn back around and leave the lunchroom. She didn't know who had yelled it, but she was sure Chloe had seen. She stared down at her plate before squeezing the sides of her tray and quickly standing up, getting rid of its contents and heading out the door the marked girl had just left. Seeing the swinging of the girl's bathroom door, she went inside what seemed an empty bathroom, but the feet under one of the stalls revealed otherwise. Elle put her hand on the occupied stall to feel that it wasn't latched.
Chloe?
Opening the door, she was able to see this new version of her, up close, for the first time. The once beautiful girl sat there, spilling silent, glowing red tears down her cheeks. She was right to think Chloe had once been beautiful. But now, her beauty was truly breathtaking. You would think that the red slashes would have tainted her looks. However, it was the complete opposite. They let you see her true beauty. Her strength. Elle could see the torture Chloe had endured. She didn't think she could have survived it if she had suffered Chloe's fate. Chloe looked up at Elle through blurry eyes, waiting for her to call her a freak, just like the others. It wouldn't make her hurt any more than she already did.
I deserve it from her. Are you okay?
What?
She could see the true concern on her face and couldn't understand.
Why would you care after what I did to you? We both know you wouldn't have done it if I didn't tell you to.
Chloe stared at Elle, even more confused.
That doesn't make what I did any better. I think getting Mr. Fredericks to find me does.
Elle stared at her, waiting to see if she would confirm that it was, in fact, her who had gotten her help. Though she didn't say anything, her silence answered the question.
Do you think Sebastian, Cassandra, or the others would have gotten me help? How long do you think I would have been out there till someone found me?
I'm sorry I didn't do it sooner. I'm sorry for everything,
Chloe whispered.
I don't blame you. Sebastian and Cassandra are the only ones I blame.
Chloe stared up at her in disbelief. She wanted Elle to hate her, or, at the very least, put some blame on her. She blamed herself.
Why doesn't she? They didn't do that to you, did they?
Chloe quickly shook her head and started wringing her hands.
What happened, then?
When Chloe didn't answer, Elle took a seat on the floor in front of her.
What are you doing?
Elle crossed her arms.
I'm going to sit here and wait till you're ready to tell me.
But you're sitting on the bathroom floor.
And you're sitting on a toilet.
Giggling, she continued.
I would say that's both pretty gross.
A slight smile lifted Chloe's lips for the first time in what felt like ages.
That's true.
Now, are you going to tell me, or are you going to make me sit here all day?
Chloe took a deep breath, not looking up from her hands.
I was in a car wreck.
Staring at her intently, Elle studied her a moment before she replied.
No, you weren't. That's a lie.
What? Yes, I was.
Again, that's a lie,
Elle responded.
You're a terrible liar, you know?
How would she know? Why do you think I'm lying?
Elle shrugged. because I have to lie to my parents way more than I'd like to. And when you are a professional liar like me, it's easy to tell when someone is clearly lying straight to your face. Also, you are just really, really bad at lying. Chloe looked down at her hands as Elle slightly chuckled at her lying skills. She didn't know what else to say other than what her father had embedded into her since she had woken up at the hospital. Okay, fine. Standing up off the floor, Elle started wiping off any dirt that might have stuck to the back of her jeans. You were in a car wreck. For now, anyway. Till you decide to spill. Ring! The lunch bell sounded right on cue. Elle reached her hand out to help Chloe up off the seat, and as her hand came close, Chloe let out a small scream. Quickly, Elle pulled her hand back.
I'm sorry, I was just going to help you up.
Chloe covered her mouth and tried desperately to blink back the tears that started to fill her eyes, but she was unsuccessful.
I'm so screwed up. What's wrong with me? How am I supposed to go on with school or life now?
Sitting back down on the floor, it was like Elle could read her mind.
It's okay. We'll wait till you're ready to go back out there.
Silently crying, Chloe could only repeat the words that would be forever ingrained in her soul.
I was in a car wreck. That's all I know. I was in a car wreck. No one hurt me.
Chapter 7. Payback was a bitch. The first day back to school was so horrible, Chloe only hoped her second day wouldn't turn out as bad. Nevertheless, as she headed to her first period, it was going the exact same way. Trying her best to block out the students, she headed straight to her class. And when she reached her classroom, she saw some of her old friends reading a newspaper. Slowly heading to the back of the class, she began to feel nauseous as they started to laugh behind the newspaper, watching her sink into her seat.
I told you, she turned into a freak from a car wreck,
Cassandra snickered, handing the newspaper off to some other student who had just come in.
Bullshit. He swerved to miss a dog. Her father was probably drunk.
Sebastian looked right at her.
Wasn't he?
Not that night. Chloe looked down at her lap to see she was digging her nails into her skin. Sebastian stood and spoke more loudly.
Wasn't he?
Hearing the snatching of a newspaper, she looked up to see Elle had taken the paper away from a nosy little kid who was one step away from getting picked on himself if it weren't for Chloe being the main target in school. Shoving the paper into her satchel, Elle took the seat right in front of Chloe, shielding her from their view.
If her father was actually drunk, we would have all heard about it by now.
Her father didn't even get a scratch, while she got her face all fucked up, Sebastian cackled.
Chloe tried to focus on the pain she was causing to her palm, but it wasn't working. She took each harsh word as a slap to the face.
So he didn't get hurt. What's your point?
Elle glared at Sebastian. Sebastian now stood, looking down at Elle.
So my dad says he was drunk off his ass, since drunk drivers are never the ones who get hurt because of the effect of the alcohol. He can't believe that her father won and hates everyone who voted for her. That's enough, kids. It's time to start class.
The teacher walked in, finishing the conversation.
Bring...
The loud bell had Chloe opening her hands to see little droplets of blood appear where her nails had dug into her skin. She spent the class in her head, wishing that drunk driving were the cause of her fucked-up face. Then she spent the next class trying to push away the memories of what had really happened. The battle continued until her third class started, and finally, when the lunch bell rang, Elle brought her out of her thoughts.
Chloe, it's time for lunch. Are you okay?
Looking around the now almost empty room, she stood, slowly nodding her head. It took Elle a minute of staring her down before she decided to walk on to the cafeteria. Walking beside the strawberry blonde to lunch, she kept her head down. It was easier looking at the cold floor than the cold stairs when everyone looked at her marked face. Despite not seeing them, she could still feel the stares as they tried to get a glimpse of her through her dark curtain of hair. When they reached the lunchroom, it was obvious it was pizza day, as the line was long and the other line of chicken patties and hamburgers was practically empty. As Elle walked toward the chicken and hamburger line without a thought, Chloe stopped her.
Wait, you don't want pizza?
Yes, but not enough to stand in line with them. She nodded her head toward the back of the line that held Cassandra and Sebastian, along with all the other kids who had helped beat her up.
You're right.
Chloe gulped at the thought. Following Elle to the empty line, she couldn't help feeling like she would never be able to eat school pizza ever again. She could already sense her freedom of picking what to eat for lunch taken away from her. After grabbing their lunches, she followed her once again to the table closest to the cafeteria door, the one she had watched Elle sit at alone, every day. She sat in front of her, so her back was to the filled lunchroom. This way, she wouldn't have to watch all the students staring at her and mocking her fresh cuts. She remembered how bad she used to feel for Elle sitting all by herself. Never once had Chloe sat with her.
Because I was afraid.
Wasn't it ironic? She feared their judgment, but she had found out what true fear was. She used to feel bad for Elle, yet now she admired her uncaring attitude over whether they liked her or not. Payback was a bitch.
You don't really get to pick what you want for lunch, do you?
Chloe asked, picking at her chicken patty and fries.